Today's Bible reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Chris. Let's pray before we look at God's word together. Father, we take it for granted that we call you Father, but we thank you for this privilege, and we pray for your Spirit to bear witness with our hearts, to give us assurance on the inside that we are your children, that we belong to you, and that you are our Heavenly Father, Lord. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard a story about a girl, a young girl who was teased by her school friends because she was an adopted child. So she went home to her mom and said, Mommy, my friends at school are making fun of me because I'm adopted. And her mom wisely said, don't mind them. Mummies and daddies don't have a choice about who their children are. But for you, when Daddy and I went to the orphanage, we chose you. You may not be our child by birth, but you are our child by choice. And we love you dearly. What a wise mom to say that to her adopted child. In Ephesians 1 verse 5, the passage that Samuel read, it says that in love, God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. So if you are sitting here today and you are a child of God, it's not because of anything inherently good in us, but it's because God chose you to be his child. And that is an amazing privilege. That God, the maker of the universe, calls you his son or daughter. So today, being Father's Day, I thought we'll look at two privileges of being God's children. Okay, so the two that we are looking at, one is, we have been given God's Spirit, and God's Spirit helps us to overcome sin. So that's the first privilege we have. We have God's Spirit. And the second one is, we get to call God Dad. So let's look at this together. So the first privilege that you and I have as God's children is that we have the Holy Spirit. God's very own Spirit. How many of you struggle with sin? How many of you realize your weakness and that you are unable to overcome sin in your life? Join the club. We all struggle with certain behaviors, attitudes that we know are wrong. But the good news is that we do not struggle on our own. God has given us his Spirit, and it is his Spirit that helps us to overcome. It's his Spirit who is at work in us to help us to overcome sin, to help us in our struggle. Look at verse 14. So we'll be looking at the verses. Verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So if you are a child of God, that means you are led by the Holy Spirit. Usually when we say led, you might imagine that the Holy Spirit is taking you somewhere. So where is the Holy Spirit taking you? So to know led to do what? Look at the verses before, from verse 12. We have to read the earlier verses. Verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So led to do what? The Holy Spirit leads us to overcome sin. The Holy Spirit leads us to put to death our own way of life, the misdeeds of the body. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us power in our struggle to overcome sin in our life. I was reading a little bit while preparing on this topic, and I love the definition of sanctification that I read. It says that sanctification is our growing freedom in Christ. Our growing freedom in Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit who creates, who sustains, and who increases our freedom to live as God's children. When in Romans it talks about whoever sins is a slave of sin, that means we are under bondage, we're doing things that we don't want to do. But when we become a child of God, God's Spirit gives us the freedom as a child, and it's a growing freedom, so that we are being set free more and more to live a life that pleases God. So this is good news indeed. What we can't do in our own strength, the Holy Spirit comes along to help us. It is the Holy Spirit who leads us to live a life that pleases God. So how does that look? Let me give you an example. So I was sitting at Castle Towers a couple of months back. It was my day off, and I had my book in hand. I enjoy reading. I had my book in hand, went to a cafe there to sit down and read. And I decided to call Jean because I was going to buy something. This was before going to Malaysia. I had to buy something for my brother. So I called Jean to find out something. And Jean asked me to buy some A&W root beer from Madam Who's. Yes, who is Madam Who? Anyway, so it was on special, and I didn't know where this Madam Who's is, and I didn't want to get off my seat and go looking. I didn't want to carry this crate of root beer. It was my day off, and I had just arrived at the mall. So anyway, there is this wrestle of doing good versus doing what I want. And I just wanted to sit comfortably reading my book. So anyway, I prayed and I told God, Lord, I really have no desire to go looking for Madam Who's. And I don't know who Madam Who's is and where the shop is. But I know that it is good, and it is pleases you for me to serve Jean in this small little task. So please help me. And so off I went on my mission. And you know what is really lovely is when you take that first step of obedience, that God helps you. And Madam Who's was to be located not too far from where I was. So I went down the escalator, and in a few minutes, I was in front of Coles. Jean said it's a shop in front of Coles, and so I'm walking around and finally found Madam Who's. I bought the A&W root beer and happily carried it to my car. I was really pleased because I did good, and doing good costs us something. It costs us maybe time. It costs us maybe money, it causes maybe some convenience. But it is really, really worth it. So brothers and sisters, this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit helps us, like for me, to overcome my self-centeredness. Likewise, God's Spirit helps you to overcome sin in whatever shape and form that is. So this is the privilege we have. God's Spirit is in us, and God's Spirit will help us to do good. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two. Okay, point number two. Look at verse 15 and 16. Point number two is that God's children call God Dad. Look at verse 15 and 16. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I was reading Grudem's Systematic Theology, and he wrote something that I never quite thought of. He said there is a difference between regeneration, when we are made spiritually alive, and adoption. See, when we are made spiritually alive, we have faith to believe in God, and we can have a relationship with God, we can talk to God in prayer, we can worship God, we are able to read God's word and understand it and be receptive because we are spiritually alive. But he says that, think about it, God could have made us creatures who are spiritually alive and yet not members of His family. Angels, for example, are in this category. So God could have made us spiritually alive, forgiven us our sins, and just treated us like a citizen in the kingdom. There's a difference between a citizen, a British citizen, and there's a difference between being a member of the royal family. So when God uses the language of adoption in the Bible, He's emphasizing that we are members of God's family. We are members of God's family. Isn't that amazing? Last year we had a few weddings at church, and I realized we take lots of photos at the end of weddings, so I'm ready this year. The first photo is usually the immediate family member. Someone might put up a little banner and you know, okay, immediate family member. Then there's the extended family members and relatives. Then there's those helping out with the food so that they can go early out and help with the food. Then there's the uni friends, there's the work colleagues, then there's the church members. So you get included in the photo depending on your relationship with the bride and the groom. Friends, do you realize that when God takes a family photo, that you are included under immediate family member, that you are a child of God, that you are part of His family? When you see a family photo, your face is circled. You are one of mine. They attend a different church, yes. Our relationship with God is not as a stranger. We are not a distant cousin. We are not just a mere citizen in God's kingdom. No, we call God Dad. God is our Father. In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says this: see what great love the Father has lavished on us. Behold, what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Isn't that amazing? I'm not sure how many of you know Begum Bilkis Sheikh. She wrote a book called I Dare to Call Him Father. Let me tell you a bit about her. She's a Pakistani Muslim woman. She was a prominent member of a noble family in Pakistan. After her husband left her, she began to search for hope and purpose in life. She started to read the Quran. During her study, she began noticing that the Prophet Jesus was mentioned in the Quran in several places. And she thought, let me find out more about this Prophet Jesus. So she asked her chauffeur, who was a Christian, to bring her a Bible, which he obliged, and he did. So she started reading. The first Bible verse that caught her attention was Romans 9, 25 and 26. It says, I will call them my people who are not my people. I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. In the very place where it says, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. This Bible verse deeply affected her. So she continued reading the Bible and reading the Quran. She began questioning her beliefs. She felt a sense of peace when she read the Bible, and she was puzzled that she didn't have the same feelings when she read the Islamic text. She approached some American missionaries, David and Sinova Mitchell, who explained to her what Christianity was, what Christianity is. That night, she began experiencing a series of dreams and visions about John the Baptist, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And these dreams contradicted everything that she had learned in Islam. She was taught that the Trinity was merely a Christian heresy. Later, when her grandson Mahmud was experiencing pain in his ear, she took him to a Christian hospital. The doctor noticed that she had a Bible. And in conversation, she said she was in search of God. The doctor told her to talk to God as she would her father. This startled Begum. She had never thought of relating to God as father. But since she had a good and loving relationship with her father, she began to pray to God as if he was her father. She found that this personal and intimate view of God began to transform her life. And on December 24, 1966, she became a Christian. Later, she wrote a book entitled, I Dare to Call Him Father. See, Begum's personal and intimate view of God transformed her life. So let me ask you, how do you view God? Because our concept of God will affect how we relate to Him. Are you afraid of God's judgment, His wrath, because you are sinful? Or do you realize that you are no longer under God's judgment? That God's judgment has already fallen on Jesus? That He has taken your punishment? Look at verse 15. It says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So we no longer fear God's judgment, because we are no longer God's enemies. We are his children. Isn't that good news? And as God's children, we can call God Abba Father. Abba is an Aramaic word. And so it's really strange that in this book, this letter of Romans, which is written in Greek, that there is this Aramaic word. It's really unusual. But Paul uses it because Jesus used the same term. In Mark 14:36, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed to God as Abba Father. And just like Jesus, who called God Abba Father, we too have the same privilege to call God Abba Father. Abba means father in Aramaic, but it's more intimate. It's like dad. So how do you relate to God? As a child thrilled with his dad, or as a slave who's going to be whacked every time you disobey God? This is an important question. As Christians, we know that we are saved by grace. It is a free gift. It is not something that we work for. But in practice, we might live as if to stay in the family depends on me being good and doing good. It can be so subtle. So how do we know if we are relating to God as a slave or as a son? One way to find out is to try checking our motivations, our motives. So let me ask you, are you doing good to earn God's love and approval and avoid His judgment? Or are you doing good because you know you are loved by your loving Heavenly Father and you want to please Him? Why do you do what you do? Do you realize that God's judgment for all your sins has been paid in full? Can you all sing with me? Never mind, don't sing. All my debt is paid. It is paid in full. It's all cleared. Or do you think that you need to live a good life to pay God back for saving you? So this verse is saying we no longer fear God's judgment because we have a new relationship. We are sons and daughters, secure in our Father's love. So today we have looked at two privileges of being God's children. One, God gives us the Spirit, and the Spirit is leading us to be conformed into the image of His Son, which means overcoming sin, giving us more freedom to live as God's children, and two, we can call God Dad, Father. Let me end by saying that these privileges come to us because of Jesus Christ. It's only because Jesus took our punishment that we no longer fear God's judgment. It's only because Jesus' death was accepted by the Father that the Spirit can be poured out into our hearts. It's by the Spirit of Jesus that we can call God Father. It is finished. Shall we pray together? Yeah. Lord, we forget what you have done by sending Jesus. Lord, please assure us of who we are, that we are not orphans, but we have been adopted into your family. Lord, we pray for you. That by your Spirit that we can have that assurance in our hearts. We can know that our sins have been forgiven, that we are your children. We pray, Lord, help us to grow in this freedom to live as your children, secure and pushing on to maturity and wanting to live a life that pleases you. We thank you for your Spirit, and we ask that throughout this week, your Spirit would be speaking to us, leading us to be holy, to please you. We pray this in Jesus' name.